Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Been so great to have Mark and Bridget out from Canada with us for these last few days. And Bridget came yesterday morning, had a wonderful time with the ladies, telling one of the most powerful, awesome Steve Lungu female in female form messages of God's redemptive power. Bridget is a walking, talking miracle of the power of God in transforming a life. And next to her sits one of my closest friends, a man who came in rededication back into the life of this local church 20 few odd years ago, and served faithfully in the house, came through into leadership, eldership, pastorship, and then planted a church. It's a thriving church, a church very similar to our church here, back in Pickering, Toronto. And they're just doing a great job over there. And they are out here this weekend, and we thought we'd love to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us through you, through the word you bring. So thanks, Mark, as you come forward to share that. Can we put our hands together? Just welcome them. And Bridget can come up too. If no holding Bridget back.
Oh, no.
No.
And you too, Bridget.
Someone called, someone sent, someone bought a microphone and went.
There we go. There you go.
Hi, everybody. Hello, hi. Everybody just move so that I can just see everybody here. You know what? Just first of all, honor Steve and Janet and your wonderful team just for embracing us once again. I grew up here and I grew out in Canada, but what a wonderful place to grow up in the Lord and learn things that we could go and share again with another nation. Not that they don't know the Lord, a lot of them, but there's always something to learn. And we have certainly learned an enormous amount of things that we pray will give God the glory. I just wanted to also, while I had the opportunity, to thank the ladies yesterday again, not just those who decorated and did everything, but those who brought the scrumptious food and then the gift that you gave me. I love generosity. I love a generous heart, and Jesus just loves that even much, much more. And I was blown away when I was given that gift from all of you who ever did that. So thank you so much for that. I think one of the things that we've learned more there, I have, leading people to the Lord here is a lot easier than it is over there. There's a lot more self-sufficiency over there. And of course, the Lord wants us to walk in his all-sufficiency. So it's been tougher. I have... lots more wrinkles, but it's a wonderful country. And I realized this time, after 12 and a half years, we've been back and back a few times, but this time, first night we were here, I went to a concert in our Stedford with four Christian schools with little children singing to the Lord. And I realized that I actually still do have a lot of South African blood in me. You know, and I thought I was the original maple leaf. No, I'm not. So I love you all, and you are, it's wonderful to see the faces, wonderful to see all of you still where you should be, wonderful to know that there are many more people out there who need to hear about the grace and the love of our Christ. Go and do that. Go and do that. Do something. Random act of kindness. Grocery store. Do whatever it takes that you can start conversation with somebody who needs desperately to know the Lord. Okay, thank you.
Amen. Give it to Steve. Yeah. Give it to Steve. Well, good morning. Can we turn these spotlights down a little bit in my eyes, please, if it's possible? I can see clearly now. Obviously, it tells my age when I do that, but it's such a privilege and an honor to be here, and I just want to honor Steve and Janet again for opening the pulpit to us and entrusting us with you amazing people, and it's wonderful to be back. As Steve said, I came here as a angry, well, I wasn't so young, but young man, and I really got saved when I was about 14, but I turned my back on God. Came here, felt the love of God, and originally it was on with Greg and Michelle, and then we planted them out, and then with Steve and Janet, and then they got tired of us and said it's time to go, and we said yes, we agree. I'm joking. Those of you who know me will know that I joke a lot. When I went to Canada, they said, Mark, are you ever serious? I said, yes. When you see me with a Bible in my hand, then I'm very serious. Other than that, not so much. And it's just an honor to be here and to share God's word with you today. And so today I want to talk about, you know, we've heard of Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible. Today I want to talk about Mission Possible. And so we're going to start like this, if you hear it out there, I hope. Okay, that's enough. All right. If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9, please. And we're going to look a little bit through the book of Luke and what it is to be mission possible, to be on mission. You know, we all know the Bible and the Matthew chapter 28 when we are given the Great Commission. And the Great Commission says to us, go into all the world and make disciples. And then we sort of stop there and we think, well, then I have to go somewhere. But if we interpret that scripture correctly, what it really means is, as you go along, make disciples. So as you go along to school, as you go along to university, as you go along to work, as you go along to your neighborhood, as you go along to your shops, as Bridget spoke about, random acts of kindness. And we go along and we are meant to be the purveyors of the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way we go and we give seed. And when you think of evangelism and you hear that word, most of you in your brains freak out. Right? Okay. No. Hold on. I'm not in Canada now. I'm in South Africa. Right? There we go. Now we got it. And because we have this picture of stadiums and pulpits and everything else that goes on, but let me just tell you a quick stat. 6% of people come to Jesus Christ through the pulpit. 2% come to Jesus Christ through stadiums. 86% people come to Christ through one-on-one. Now, if we just believe that stat and we put that into action, and if you just today think, every single one of you think there's one person that I know, one family member, one friend, one neighbor that needs Jesus Christ. When we come back in a year or two's time, whatever the Lord decides, and if Steve decides, this place will be too small. Did you hear what I just said? This place will be too small. Because you would have doubled, and if then you take two, and just in a year, I'm not expecting next month or 3 months' time, in 1 year. And then that person in 1 year brings another one to Christ. You can do the math for yourself. Now let's go back to, you know, some preachers say, turn to this book in the Bible, and then they just talk for hours and they never get to it. I'm not that kind of person. Luke chapter 9. Verse 1, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, I love what they how it all started off, and it starts off with us saying that they were to go, and he gave them power and authority. Power, dunamis, which is the spiritual ability for us to work through, or the Holy Spirit to work through us. We don't tell the Holy Spirit what to do. He tells us what to do, and we become his servants, the servants of Father God, and we go out and we do it. And the authority that he is giving us is giving us to be able to work that through in the name of Jesus Christ. And we are given that, and all we have to do is learn to take hold of that. And so what I want us to have a look at, it helps if I switch it on, is Luke 9:1-6. And we see that this, the coded message of the mission, remember we're all on a mission, all power, all authority over all demonic realms and healings. That is what you and I have been given in the name of Jesus Christ, for us to go and to do and to perform on the name of Jesus Christ. And the second thing we have to know, that this is mission possible. It is not mission impossible, because each one of us has been given the authority and the power to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You do not have to have, well, actual fact, there is no, I have the deliverance ministry, I have a healing ministry. No, Holy Spirit will use you at the time. And we can talk about the gifts, but we're not going to, because we have to assess what is the most important gift. The most important gift is the one that is needed now. If I'm sick, which you can hear by my throat a little bit, I don't need a prophetic word. I need someone to come and lay hands on me and pray for me. And I need someone with a gift of healing to come and heal me. Holy Spirit, come heal me. Touch me. I pray that as I preach, I will not cough during this time. Verse 3, it goes on and says, take nothing with you. It's a lesson in total dependence upon Jesus. And you might be thinking, well, if I'm going to go out and I'm going to share the gospel, I have to know 4 scriptures or 5 scriptures, and I have to know where they are in the Bible, and I have to be able to say the right words. No, just tell your testimony. I was a sinner, and I know, you know, we love to tell our testimony. I was a bad dude. I can regale you for hours what I like to do as a bad dude. And I was bad this, and I wouldn't help old ladies across the street, and I'd kick the cats, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And then after 15 minutes, you go, man, you really needed Jesus. And then we go, yeah, no, then I got saved. No, we should go, I was a sinner who needed Jesus Christ, and then I got saved. Let me tell you for the next 15 minutes what God has done in my life. And that's all we have to do. The problem is that we have to understand that we look and he says, take nothing with you. But it wasn't that Jesus was being spiteful. He's saying, you need to learn to rely on me and lean on me. Because in Luke chapter 22, verses 35 to 36, you'll see he says, go and take an extra tunic and take a sword and take a bag and do this all stuff. Because now you've learned to rely on me. Take your natural comforts and go with them. We have all become commissioned to extend the kingdom of God, to be, as I said earlier, purveyors of the gospel of grace, seed sowers. Just think of yourself as not being, I'm an evangelist and that's a high lofty thing for me, but I'm a seed sower. I just go around sowing seeds of grace, seeds of understanding of the gospel of the kingdom of God, seeds of my life. You know, let your life line up with what comes out of your mouth. That's very helpful. This is just a hot tip. The problem is, Houston, we have a problem. The problem are the agents, which means us. Because we put so many things in the way, and we don't want to do what we have to do. There is a problem with the commissioning, and that's us. Because we don't take hold of it. We don't accept the fact that you and me together, we are gifted, we have the word in us, we have the power of God within us, we have the dunamis, we have the authority, we know the plans of the Father for the world, we have Holy Spirit who guides and leads us into all truth. No, not me over here there. We think, no, it's the pastor's job, he should be doing all this stuff. No. When we understand Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, our job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Doesn't mean that we go and sit in our blessed assurance. No, we are part of the team. We're a team working together. If you take this amazing picture at the back here and make a jigsaw puzzle out of it, and we broke it all down and gave each one of you a piece of that puzzle, and then we said, okay, next Sunday we're going to get together and we're going to make the picture. But there's a piece missing, there's a piece missing here, and there's a piece missing here. Why? Because you are important. You are highly valued to the kingdom of God. And when we come together and we create that amazing picture, the Father shines and smiles. So now we all know that when we go on a mission, the agent, we're going into enemy country, remember, the agent's contact is Jesus. And we see that when we understand that, if we go over to Luke chapter 9, we're going to read Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We need to understand, like any mission assignment or travel log that takes us away from home, there is a cost. There is a cost that we pay. There is a cost to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we all want the glory, we all want the happy experience or anything, but few want to actually pay the cost. And there is a cost. But when we consider the cost that Jesus paid, there is nothing. You know? Well, don't worry, Steve. I'll just sacrifice my time for you. You didn't sacrifice anything. Jesus sacrificed everything. You can say amen. Or ouch, it's okay, I'm good. We have been graced to bear the costs that he has given us. When we're going into foreign territory, we need the contact person, we need Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit. Because the first agent we come across is the eager agent. I like to call him the eager agent. I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus. As long as it's got silk sheets, a foyer, and a hot shower. And a soft pillar. I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus, the foxes have holes and the birds of air, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. If you're anything, I love the bush. And so it's one thing I do miss in Canada. But I love the bush. And I love to go into the bush when we used to do mission trips out there and go and lay my head in the sand and in a sleeping bag and preach the gospel and see lives changed. And sometimes we just, and I don't understand why it was, but Bridget and I like to call ourselves the two dummies. Because while we were here many years ago, we've been gone 12 and a half years now. Some of you are going, what? Yeah, I know, time goes when we have fun. 12 and a half years ago we went, but Bridget and I used to, and those that were on eldership at the time will remember, who wants to go to sleep in a tent in Mozambique next to a river with crocodiles? We'll go. Who wants to go to Madagascar? We'll go. Who wants to go to Mozambique? We'll go. Who wants to go? I know, and this is one that really, who wants to go to Barbados? Yeah, we'll go. Who wants to go to Philippines? We'll go. And every time we went, it was into third world context. But God saw our hearts to see the lost saved and to see those come to Christ Jesus and to meet and help people plant churches and the things that went on. Here we have this eager guy. And when sometimes God doesn't put it all up, you know, I like to say God just shows us, you know, the Instamatic camera? He just shows you the one little shot. Because if he gave us the whole video, we'd all be too scared to do anything. Have we been shown the video of what we would face in Canada? And it's a lovely country and all that kind of stuff. But it's tough. It's tough. We left here with two suitcases. Oh, please, this is not for hero's sake. But there used to be a song when we were didn't know what we were doing, why we were there, that we used to sit and we used to go down to the lake in the freezing cold, minus 30 degrees, and we'd sit in our car, I know you, and we'd put the song on, and the song was, "We will go for the sake of the lost. We will go for the sake of the cross." And we used to sit and weep and weep and weep. And because we stayed the course, God is faithful. Well, he's faithful all the time, but we needed to stay the course. The second problem is we find is the reluctant agent. The reluctant agent says, I'll follow you, Jesus, but you know, I've got stuff to do. Let me go bury my father first. And then Jesus says, no, let the dead bury the dead. Wow. It's like seem like harsh. It seems harsh. But what Jesus is trying to say is the primacy is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is prime. We should not allow sentimentality to break in and break us down. Oh, I don't like the drums. They're too loud. And I don't like this. And that's too loud. What about the kingdom? What about the cross? What about the finished work of the cross? Look beyond all these sentimental things. Forgive me for this. We can't make it to church on Sunday. And I know you don't have to come to church. That's legalism. I understand that. You don't have to read your Bible. It's really good for you, though. It's just a hot tip. We should do it because we want to. Because we understand the work, finished work of the cross. We understand what Jesus did for us. We understand that he commissioned us. Think of it. You are an ambassador of Christ. You've been commissioned to go to your neighborhood. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outer parts. This used to be our Jerusalem. Canada is now our Jerusalem. This is our outer parts of the world for us. It's shifting and changing, and we just got to move with Jesus and go with Jesus and say, because he's going to call upon you sometime, and he doesn't have time and place and plan. Ooh, I don't know what that is. Now, what it means is that he will use you anytime, anywhere, anyhow. And we just got to be ready for the task because we're on a mission. Mission possible. What that scripture really means is so you don't get all bent, let the spiritually dead bury the physical dead. That's what he's saying. Jesus is not harsh. He's not unkind. Jesus was on his way to his crucifixion, and he knew that. It wasn't like, oh, surprise me, somebody. Jesus understood where he was going. The next agent we come across is the someday agent. I like to call him the someday agent. Let me first go and say goodbye to my family. When I'm good and ready, when I'm ready to follow you, Jesus, then I will come and do it. When I'm ready, done with my life, and I lived that for 20 years. God called me. As part of my testimony, I didn't know that at the time, so I didn't say, well, how do you know that? My mother told me when I was 2 years old. A beggar came to the door looking for food. We lived in Pietermaritzburg where I was born. And she went through and she made sandwiches and she made him a cup of tea and everything. And this old man was standing there. And of course, I came through, as we would say, in my diapers, but here we're going through in our nappies. This good body in a pair of nappies, don't even try and picture that. And as I got there, this old Kehla fell down on his hands and knees, and he said to my mother, "Nangulung fundis, nangulung fundis, nangulung fundis." My mother didn't speak Zulu. She was like, "What's that?" So my dad came home from work, and she said, "I had an amazing experience today." He said, "This gentleman came to the door and asked for food." And then when Marky came toddling through, she said, "Nangulung fundis, nangulung fundis." And so you all know what that means. And that's when God called me, but I disobeyed. And I went my own way. Why? Because the church hurt me. This is just a beautiful building you have. Keeps you cool in summer, I trust. Warm in winter and dry when it rains. This is not the church. Actual fact, when you come here, you're not even going to church or coming to church. Because you are the church. So it's like, just to change your paradigm a little bit. We are the church. And so where we go, we take ourselves with us and we take Holy Spirit with us. And we take the Father and His glory and His amazing, we take Jesus with us. And when we go out and we can't be the someday, we need to renew our minds, because the kingdom of God is not about convenience. It's not about a contract. Some of us still have this idea that because Jesus died on the cross, I owe Him something. If that is your thinking, then that's a contract with Jesus. We owe Him nothing except our heart and our gratitude and the renewal of our mind to live as Christ followers. Thank you, Uncle Daddy. I'm trying. But getting quiet here. Then we have the active agent. The active agent, he's in the field, he's going, he's pioneering, and you can be that active agent. You don't have to go further than your neighborhood to be an active agent. You need to be the one who creates the furrow like the farmer and allow people to step into that furrow and follow you as you follow Christ. Be ready anytime. When a farmer plows a field, he doesn't sort of go, okay, how am I doing? He sets a point ahead and he goes in the straight line that he has. And when he turns around, he goes the other way and he does the same thing. He doesn't put a look over his shoulder to see how am I doing. That's yesterday, that's gone, that's finished. Now we're going forward with Christ. We're plowing forward. You're going forward. He got the coded message. He understood it. He got the mission. He's active, or he, she. Active in obedience, active in following, active in proclaiming the kingdom of God, active in praying for the sick. Oral Roberts prayed for 1,000 people before the first one got healed. Yeah, well, I prayed yesterday and I prayed the other day. Man, Steve's been praying for me. I've been praying for me. Bridget's been praying for me. Praise God, I haven't coughed yet. I still have this chest thing. I don't understand it. But that's the mystery. That's the wonderfulness of Jesus, of the Father. We don't have to understand everything. What we have to do, though, is we have to execute the mission. We need to understand that we need to execute the mission. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. There we go. I'm sorry. And I didn't sin. There's no sin in my life. Just saying. Where am I? Luke chapter 10, verses. Just for the time of the sake, Jesus sending out the 72. He sends them out. You can go and read it for yourselves. But we need to understand that just when we're on a mission, we need to understand this. That once you have read these instructions, they will automatically self-destruct. You don't believe me? The kingdom says, go your way. In this scripture, it says, go your way. Be obedient. I was just sharing with Steve the other day. Who knows, read Gary Chapman's book, Five Languages of Love? Just quickly put up your hands. Okay, some of you. Yeah. I'm going to ask the men, what is the first language of love? No, don't. I'm not asking you because I know what you're going to say. Touch. Woman, gifts, acts of service. You know, those are great things to help us. They're not biblical. You know, philosophy, sometimes good philosophy, but it's not good Bible. You know what's good Bible? What's Jesus' love language? That's what's important. Jesus' love language is obedience. If you love me, you will obey me. That's His love language. We want to speak Jesus' language? Obey Jesus. It's more important than Gary Chapman. Although they're helpful, I'm just saying. We need to learn to travel light, stay focused, and don't carry baggage with us. Baggage is a distraction. If I could be so bold as to say, get over yourself and get on with the mission. Well, I'm too shy, I'm too this, no. Holy Spirit has given you dunamis and authority and power. We have that. I've not been given a spirit of timidity or fear. I've been given a spirit of a sound mind. We got to step into this. Sometimes we have to self-talk. You know, this is not self-motivation. Holy Spirit motivation, God-driven, Jesus lived. We have to sometimes self-speak ourselves into understanding this stuff. The second thing that the set of scriptures tells us when we go on mission is to bless. Go and bless and be a blessing. Can't be, you need to get saved. I'll steer you into the kingdom. No. Go, peace be to this house. And Jesus is very clear. If you get there and there is no peace in the house, shake off the dust and say, hasta la vista, baby. We won't be back. That's what the scripture says. No, let's be kind and let's be thing. They're treating us terrible. It's okay. My wife's going in the front here. She's getting nervous. When God opens the door, bless them and be a blessing. Don't be a burden and demanding. I don't like 3% milk in my coffee. I only like 2%. We're from Canada. We don't have milk in our coffee. We have cream. Steve, get the cream. No. What do you got, bud? Just pour it in, drink it, be a blessing. That's just a small example. Fellowship. This is what scripture says when we're on mission. Go and read it. Dining room fellowship. You know, I love the story in Acts chapter 16 about Lydia and the jailer. Two people from two different walks of life completely. But when they met Jesus, when they came to understand this gospel of grace that we preach, when they came to understand that they were saved and they were forgiven, what did they do? Both of them opened their hearts to the apostolic and opened their homes to the apostolic. Now I'm just questioning, how many of you open your homes to one another? Just a thought, random thought. We need to be fully committed, fully surrendered, new disciples opening our hearts in an expansive way to the kingdom of God. Minister the kingdom and healing. It carries on and says, denounce rejection when it comes. In Canada, we get rejected by smiles and sweetness. Canadians vote strongly with their feet. That was wonderful. You're such a nice person. And never came back. I preached so well. Worship was outstanding. The coffee was great. Why? Because in Canada, we have a church on every street corner. And it's like a smorgasbord. You just choose where you like to go. And we got to actually, God, where are you settling me? Where are you showing me to be? And if he has brought you here, obviously. Then get involved. Help to extend the kingdom through this house. Five more minutes, I'll try and finish it. Mission impossible, mission possible, accomplished. Luke chapter 19, 1 to 10, we won't read it for the sake of time. It's a story of Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was not a well-liked guy. But Jesus comes along. This is how mission gets accomplished. Luke 19, 1 to 10, you can read it. Number one, he was the chief tax collector and was a rich man. But he came through it by different ways. He didn't come through it by honesty. But we take Zacchaeus and see them as the picture of the world today. They high and mighty and have nothing, no need of others. Luke 12:34 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Said a different way. What is important to you is what you will do first. I'm not like that. Yep. I get what I can and I can what I get and it's all about me and I have no kingdom heart. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, Zacchaeus, come on now. He says, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. There's a sense of urgency for him. It's more for him to come down the tree. But come down out of your lofty perch of and come to humility, Zacchaeus, is what Jesus is saying. And I love it. He came down and he saw him and he came and he received him joyfully. He didn't say, you're the horrible little guy who steals money from people. He just received him, opened his arms and received him joyfully. John 1:10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That's who you are if you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. You're an active agent, liberation. Carries on and says, religion grumbles at grace. The people are saying, well, why the God Zacchaeus? Go and read it. We have to learn to deal with the theys in our life. They said. Well, we've got to a point. They said that. Well, who's they? Now, I can't tell you. I said, then I don't want to know. Who are the they? Well, they need to stand up. Religious spirits who hate the message of grace. Those were the days. Zacchaeus' repentance was real. And you go and he sees and he fulfills the law in Exodus 22 when he gives back four times. And finally we see with Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. He is the perfect sacrifice for us. Can I pray, Steve? Can I just, if there's anybody here today, let's just stand together, please. Is there anybody here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus? Or you've said, no, I do know the Lord Jesus, but man, I've been one of those reluctant and eager and someday agents, but I want to step into the realm of being an active agent today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or step forward. You know, I just believe sometimes just do business with God. I'm going to pray for you. Hand the service back to Steve. But if that's you, just be honest with God and just do some business with God today. It's about His kingdom. It's not about our kingdom. It's about His righteousness, not about mine. So, Father, we come to you today, Lord Jesus, and we stand before you, God, and we just lift our hearts to you, Lord. And, Father, we just come and we say, Lord, forgive me for not being an active agent, Lord. Today I choose, Father, that today I will become an active agent on mission possible with you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for the courage that you have given me. Thank you for your spirit that dwells in me. Thank you for your presence that lives in me, Lord. Thank you for the power and authority through the Holy Spirit that I have inside of me. So, Lord God, today I want to be an active agent and I want to activate those gifts that you've placed within me, Lord. Father, when you prompt me, let me be obedient to you. Let my words come out as an oracle from you, Father. Not stuff that I have to make up, but what you would want me to say to those who need you, Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, Mark, for such a timely word. We're a church on a mission, the Great Commission. Amen. And last weekend, there were a team of us, some from this church, some other pastors and a group who were in Mozambique. But I don't want to take up too much time on feedback on that mission this morning, but next Sunday I'd like to do that. So it really fits in with a church on a mission. And God bless you. And thank you so much for opening up your hearts, pouring out, giving to us. Love you guys. Stacks.